For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of July the 8th, 1988, take number 19, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs. Linda Sutter is the teacher for the evening.
Linda Sutter is our teacher, minister, speaker, whatever title you want to give her. She's just going to bring us the word. And we pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow through her as she ministers, that the word of the Lord will flow in a life-giving substance that will bring life to us as we serve and worship the Lord. Linda, the blessings of the Lord on you.
Praise the Lord. You could stay seated, but let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you for the word that gives, that cleanses and gives life, gives us direction, is a light to our path. And we thank you, Lord, that for the word that has taken up residence in our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit and is changing and transforming us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many can say it's been a good week?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. You can do that if you like. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you something. It's been a wonderful week for me, too. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, we sit in every service and we get all this ministry. And just when you get so much and you wonder if you can take any more. And then God just enlarges your capacity to receive a little bit more, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're leaving early in the morning, you're going to get a good night's sleep tonight because we're not going to be real long, I don't think. You never know, though. You never know how the Lord may lead. And you know, before we start, I really feel in my heart, I have to say something, Brother Glenn. I say this very seriously because I really feel like I've grieved the Lord. And I want to ask your forgiveness, and I want us all really to examine our hearts as well. But you know, there is nothing to make light of when it comes to redemption. Every single aspect of the cross is very serious business. And I wouldn't dream of making light of salvation, of healing, gifts of the Spirit. And I realized I was talking lightly about deliverance. Not maybe even intentionally, but just talking lightly about deliverance. And I'll tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, I really thank God for deliverance. I'm thankful that the Lord has directed it my way and opened me up to be able to receive deliverance. And I'll tell you, I believe there's a lot more in store for me. But I want to ask your forgiveness tonight if I have said something that may have offended you and you wonder why I might have spoken lightly or laughed about it. And I did it unknowingly at the time, but the Lord really spoke to my heart and convicted me about it as I walked out the door today and walked back to get ready for the meeting tonight, that there's nothing light about this ministry. There are people that have come all the way across the country to get help in this place. And it's not a laughing matter or something to speak lightly about. And so I want to ask your forgiveness tonight if I've offended any one of you by just speaking lightly about the whole subject, because I thank God for what he's doing in my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And tonight I want to encourage you. We've gotten, as I said, so much ministry. We've had so much teaching. And I thought, my goodness, you know, we've talked You know, every subject practically has been covered this week. And what more is there to say except amen, you know? But I want to encourage you tonight, and you know, God put something down in my heart. Actually, this began about 7 years ago, and I didn't understand it. And I want to share it with you because God's been bringing, giving me light on it as the years have gone by, and especially in the last several months, and even in the last several weeks. You know, it's interesting how the gifts of the Spirit are in a person's life. You know, before we go on, we need to pray, okay? Lord, anoint the Word. Quicken it to our hearts. I pray you'd cause it to bear fruit 100-fold in our lives. We don't ask for 30. We don't ask for 60. We want 100-fold return on the Word of God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, one of the interesting things about the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly the gift of prophecy, is that you can prophesy and you don't know what on earth you're saying. And I talked to Brother Tommy earlier today, and I said, Tommy, does it ever happen to you that you prophesy and you don't know what you're talking about? And you're hearing it the first time when it comes out your mouth. And he said, oh, it's happened to him. And I can say this evening that it has definitely happened to me. And some years ago, I was up, one of the places that I spend quite a bit of time traveling in ministry is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Now, how many don't know where that is? Yeah, I thought so. A lot of people don't know where it is. So also interesting to me that God so often has spoken to me, or a number of times anyway, in visions about particular areas of the country, and for some reason it's always North Country. North Dakota, Northern Minnesota, Upper Michigan, Northern Wisconsin, Norway, Sweden, Finland, places like that, you know, where it's cold. And I always wonder, you know, if I'm going to be in those places that he gives me the vision of, and so far it's come to pass. That's the way it's turned out. Never thought I'd be in the South. Never would have dreamed of it. Had a lot of dreams about blizzards and snowstorms and things like that. And I'm so thankful also tonight how God has brought Lake Hamilton into my life. And Glenn and Irma and Patty and Kevin and Daniel. I was wanting to say something about this, but I was afraid I'd start to cry, and I don't think I will now. I don't think so. But God has given me a whole new family here at Hot Springs. I don't have too many of my own family anymore. Brother Archie here knows some of my relatives, and some folks here know some of my relatives, but as far as an immediate family, both of my parents are gone. I have a half-brother and a half-sister and grandparents, and people that have been very close to me are all gone. And God, in His wonderful mercy, has given me a brand-new family. And Glenn said on Sunday morning, he said something about me being his daughter. Well, he's adopted me, but I've adopted him and Irma as well. And from now on, they are my parents. Praise the Lord. And somebody was saying that Irma and I looked a little bit alike, and we both kind of got tickled with that, I think, didn't we? And I thought, if I get that look on my face, you know, when we're dealing in deliverance that Irma gets, I'm going to be very happy, very satisfied. Praise the Lord. But some years ago, the Lord spoke to me in a vision about the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and that's one part of Michigan. There's a lower part of Michigan where maybe some of you are from, and then there's an upper part that extends clear over to Minnesota, and above that is Lake Superior and then Canada. And he spoke to me in a vision about a move of the Spirit in that area, and especially way up in the northwest tip in a place called the Keweenaw Peninsula, which is a place where there are copper mines. And I saw, believe it or not, deliverance going on up there when I didn't really wasn't thinking too much about deliverance and casting out of devils. But God spoke to me about deliverance ministry going on up there. Well, you know, when God does something, you don't have to try to make something come about. You don't have to try to make a word of prophecy come about. You don't have to try to fulfill a vision. God will set the wheels in motion. Amen? And I didn't know anybody up there. One night I got a telephone call from somebody who wanted me to come and have meetings in a place called Iron Mountain, Michigan. And I felt normally, you know, I will wait on things a little bit, but I had an immediate sense in my heart that I should go there, and the sooner I got there, the better. And I said, yes, I will come, and we made arrangements for 1 week from the time that they called. They rented a hotel room, and I went up there, and we had some meetings, marvelous meetings. And through that encounter at Iron Mountain, that whole western upper peninsula of Michigan began to open up to me. And as I went from one town, it's also called Iron Country because there's iron mines all along the lower part of the peninsula, and then you get up further, it's copper mines. And because of things that have happened in the unions and all other kinds of activity, most of those mines have closed. And as I went from one town to another, started out at Iron Mountain, got over to Iron River, got to Ironwood, got to Trout Creek, got to Amasa, and got to some of these little towns that you've never heard of and I'd never heard of, before I'd ever gone there, God had spoke to me in a vision about revival and about deliverance way up there in the northwest corner, but a word of prophecy began to come out of my own mouth that God was going to redeem the land. And I didn't know what that meant. And I also prophesied that the mines would reopen and that industry would come back in and that people would have jobs again because the unemployment rate was just absolutely ridiculous up there. And to a point, we have seen that word of the Lord come to pass. Some of the mines have reopened, new ones have opened, and there is industry that has come in to a point, but not in the way that I believe God has for that place. And aside from that, I don't believe that what God was speaking was entirely in the physical realm. I believe, first of all, it was in the spiritual realm. And while I was declaring that the mines would reopen and jobs would come back, God had something far greater in store for that upper peninsula of Michigan than just financial prosperity and people having jobs again. You go way up in the northwest corner, and I can't even think of the towns right now, Hancock and Houghton and Calumet and some of those places where the mines have been closed for many years. The unions came in. Because of the strikes and everything that went on, business just closed up. Whole towns just are dead right now. And I've thought on that so many times through the years, and I've wondered just how much more. At the time, I thought it was physical, just strictly in the natural. But as time has gone on, I said, Lord, you're wanting to teach me something here about taking back the ground that has been given to Satan. How many of you have taken back ground this week that you gave Satan? Oh, I hope there's more than that. All right. Place where Satan's got into your personal life, we're taking back the ground that we've given him. That's okay, all right? That's what we've been doing in all these deliverance services, I hope. I trust that's what we've all been doing. Taking back ground that's been given to Satan. Now, that was one experience I had. We're going to get back to that. And then time went on, and I was in another place. And again, I didn't understand what I was saying. In fact, Sister Blanche, I was down in your country, down in Georgia, Warner Robins, Georgia. And I was sitting in a service. This is just within the last year. I was sitting in a service. In fact, I drove into that town, and I felt the oppression come over me as I drove into town and checked into the hotel. I drove down the street, and I thought, I was wondering what was happening. I wondered if it was my imagination. And I went into the service on Sunday morning, and I felt this oppression just kind of come right down over me, almost like a blanket. And I sat there, and I said, Lord, what is going on? What is this that I am sensing? Now, I have to tell you this, that when I was a student in high school, I did all right in English, but there were courses I didn't care about, so I just didn't pay too much attention, and American history was one of them. I got A's in English and speech and that sort of thing, but I didn't do too well in history, and I just kind of slid through and got the least, I got better than a D, but I didn't do very well. And when I got out of history class, I immediately forgot everything that I did learn while I was in there. And as I was sitting in church on Sunday morning, waiting to get up to speak, wondering what this oppression was, God began speaking to my heart, and He began showing me something that I didn't understand. And it had something to do with the Civil War. And I saw blood on the ground. And again, I thought, is this a figment of my imagination here? And I don't know what went on during the Civil War. In fact, the last year and a half has been the first time I've ever spent any time in the South at all. And I got up to speak, and I can't remember that I said too much about it, but later I was in somebody's home, and I said, tell me, what happened here during the Civil War? And this lady told me, she said, oh, General Sherman came through. I believe that was his name. Came through with his armies and devastated everything. Is that what his name was? Devastated everything, laid to ruins the beautiful plantations and the houses, killed all kinds of innocent people. And I said, are there still strong emotions about that? And she said, oh, very strong emotions about that. And I said, well, God began showing me that there is blood on the ground here, that there is things that have happened years ago that are hindering the flow of the Spirit today. And again, I didn't understand it. I got in my car to leave the next day, and as I drove out of town, was heading towards, I believe it was Columbus, Georgia, and heading on down towards Baton Rouge, an intercession came over me, and I began to intercede in the Spirit for about an hour and a half. And as this intercession just continued rolling and rolling, the Lord began speaking through me in English, and I began to comprehend that the blood that was on the ground, that there had to be a change. I don't remember the exact words, but I had to take, and God's people had to take authority over the blood that had been spilt in that place in order for the blessings of God to flow. Now, like I said, this was all new to me. And then came to mind a verse of Scripture in the book of Numbers. Not the book of Numbers, excuse me. We'll go to Numbers. In 2 Samuel, chapter 21. And I don't know that I'm going to read all of this, but I'm going to read some of it. We'll start at verse 1. I'm reading in the New International Version. During the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David sought the face of the Lord. And the Lord said, it is on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death. And then it goes on and how the king summoned the Gibeonites and he spoke to them. And they said that we don't need to, we have no right to demand silver or gold from Saul or his family. Verse 4, nor do we have the right to put anyone in Israel to death. And so David asked him, and he says, well, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? And so they answered the king, and they said that they wanted descendants of the house of Saul to be killed to atone for those that Saul had killed. And the reason they said that, you know, over in Numbers 23, excuse me, in Numbers 35, the Old Testament law was that when blood was shed, it says, verse 33 of chapter 35 of Numbers, do not pollute the land where you are. Bloodshed pollutes the land. And atonement cannot be made for the land on which the blood has been shed, except by the blood of the one who shed it. Do not defile the land where you live and where I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. And so there was a principle that and a law that had been laid down by God that the only way atonement could be made for blood that had been shed was that the one who had done it, you know, that their blood be shed. Well, thank God today that the supreme sacrifice has been made. Amen? The blood has been shed once and for all. There is no more shedding of blood that can be made to atone for anybody's sins, yours, mine, anybody else's. The supreme sacrifice has been made. Praise the Lord. And what we must do today when we see where land has been polluted, I'm getting ahead of myself here, and we'll refer to it again, no doubt, is that we have to appropriate the blood of Jesus in that place. Now, every single place I go, practically, I will have people tell me the same thing. I go to a town to have meetings. I go to a place and they'll say, oh, it's so hard for the Spirit of God to move in Denver. And I've gone up to Minneapolis where I used to live and people will say to me, oh, there's such a heaviness, such a spiritual heaviness over this city. When I moved over to Green Bay, Wisconsin, in 6-7 years ago, I heard the same thing when I got there. Interestingly enough, I saw the spirits over that town when I moved there. And I went into another place and people came to the meetings and I saw spirits over them that I didn't understand at the time. You know, it's interesting the things you can see and you don't have the understanding of what it is. And I saw certain spirits over them, and as I began to talk to them, and they told me where they came from, they lived right in the heart of an Indian reservation over in Wisconsin. And I says, well, then I understand what it was I was seeing in the spirit. And every place I go, people will say essentially the same thing, that there is something that is hindering the move of God in that place. Well, didn't we hear Brother Pittman the other night talk about the principalities and powers that are over certain areas? We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. And we know tonight that we can bring down every stronghold of the enemy through Jesus Christ. Some of you probably are a little heavy-hearted about going home because you've had a good time here. You've enjoyed the blessings of the Lord. We've had a great time. We've sang, we've danced, we've worshiped the Lord, we've praised, we've sung in the Spirit, we've cast out devils, the sick have been healed, and all kinds of good things. And now you have to go back home where that heaviness hangs over your city. Well, I don't believe you have to go back home and live in that realm. The sacrifice was made. And as a child of God, you and I have a responsibility. And we have the privilege of going home and breaking strongholds. Praise the Lord. You know, with revelation comes responsibility, doesn't it? We begin to get the truth of something, and we can never be the same after we have gotten that truth. Either we're going to take it and it's going to be life to us, or we're going to just lay it aside and it was nice and it was a good thought and we're going to go on and wonder why we don't have the victory that we should have. It's because we laid aside truth that God wanted and gave to us and we just let it lie and not begin to bear fruit in our lives. You know, God is really, really merciful to us. I first came in contact with the truth of deliverance 20 years ago and laid it aside. And I remember a prophecy somebody gave me in a home meeting in Minneapolis in 1966 about a particular kind of ministry and deliverance. And I've never forgotten that. I forgot it for a few years, but when I got down here to Lake Hamilton, all of a sudden, that prophecy that I got in 1966 came right back into my mind again. I says, oh, Lord, is that what you were saying back there in 1966? And I have a sense in my heart that that's exactly what he was talking about in 1966. He's merciful. He waits on us. But I know that in my case and in a lot of your cases, that the time is now that we've got to move forward in the things that God has put into our spirit and put into our life. Praise the Lord. You and I have a responsibility. Now, I know I was pastoring for 3 years up in a little town called Sister Bay, Wisconsin. God spoke to me in a vision about that place too, before I went up there. Showed me about how intercession had been made for a move of God. And a full gospel church had never lasted up there, never could last more than just a few months over the years. And when I moved up there, you know, at first I came up there with, you know, God's going to do something here. The time is right. Moved in there and began to believe that things were going to grow within 6 months, and after 6 months, nothing happened. So we began confessing that after a year, you know, we'd have more people. We started out with 12, and after a year, no, we started out with 20. And after a year, we had 15. And I said, we've got to get together, folks, and we've got to pray. We've got to break the stronghold of the enemy that is over this place. And so we'd get together and we'd pray. We decided instead of having Bible study on Tuesday night, we would just pray. We didn't know how to pray, so we just prayed in the Spirit. We'd come together and we'd maybe sing a couple songs and we'd just begin to pray in tongues for an hour, hour and a half, some 2 hours. Just pray in the Spirit. And I believe, in fact, I know things happened. But you know, there is something that comes with having the revelation of what you're praying about. And when you have the understanding and your spirit can agree with the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is revealing, and we have that comprehension, we begin to see at that point, more than ever, the strongholds begin to come down. And we'd pray in the Spirit, not understanding, and we'd go home, I'd say, God speak to anybody here? And we'd just look at each other and say, no, but something was done. And then God would, I begin to have these visions, and I thought I was losing it. Thought I was losing my mind. And I'd see blood sacrificed. And I would see humans sacrificed. And I thought, you better stop, Linda. You know, something's getting out of hand here. And I remember I shared it with the folks one night. I said, I don't understand this, but I see human sacrifice going on around here. So we began to wonder if there was some witchcraft and Satan worship going on. And maybe there was. But I didn't realize that when we went in that area and wanted to get a fellowship of people established, a full gospel fellowship, I didn't realize what we were biting off, if I can put it that way. I didn't realize what we were facing. Week after week, we'd come in there and pray in the Spirit, and we'd feel like we were hitting a brick wall. And I'll tell you, the most unusual things happened. And the most unbelievable tests and things from Satan would come, not only against me, but against members of the congregation. After 2 years, we were up to seven. We'd gone from 20 to 15 up to 17. And it wasn't till after I stepped aside as pastor that I came to an understanding of what we had been seeing in the Spirit. What I had been seeing in the Spirit anyway, and what all of us had been sensing in the Spirit. Because what we had, what I found out was the very place I lived, right on the ground that I lived, 300 years ago, had been occupied by cannibalistic American Indians. All around the peninsula and from the park, Peninsula State Park over by my place and further up, and they had been at war with each other, and terrible things had gone on. And you know, in the Spirit, there's no difference between 300 years or 3 minutes. In the Spirit realm, if that has not been broken, the power of that, if it has not been broken, it is going to affect you today. What have we been doing? We have been breaking, haven't we? The curses of generations before us that have affected our lives. When I began to understand it, the only way I found out, somebody handed me a book, The History of Where I Live, about a month after I had stepped down as pastor. I still live there, but I'm no longer the pastor. I attend the church. But I began reading this book, and I said, oh, this is what you were showing me, God? And I, rather than asking you for further revelation, I thought I was losing my mind. And we begin to pray. I shared it with the people. We begin to pray and come against specifically those cannibalistic and ancient Indian spirits that have hovered over the place. We have finally, after all this time, begun to sense a bit of a breakthrough and begin to see a breakthrough in the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. And it's taken some time. It's taken some doing. But you and I have a responsibility. You get two of you that are agreeing as touching anything. What does the Scripture say? It shall be given. It shall be done. You believe. You agree. It shall be done. God didn't give us that promise to satisfy our own fleshly desires, but He gave it to us to see strongholds brought down, to see things begin to happen in the spirit realm. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we've just gotten... You know, we've gotten too educated. You know, the more education we get, the crazier this kind of thing seems that we're talking about. But I'll tell you what, it's working. I feel it working in my life. And I'm beginning to see it working in different places. And it is not enough. This is another thing we found out. It's not enough just to bind the spirits that were over the land there and to bind their power, but to cast them out. Now, that's what we've been doing among ourselves. You know, when God speaks to us, in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, we see that He was always speaking about a land, wasn't He? Speaking about a people, speaking about a city, speaking about a temple. Always, you begin to see in those areas. And we can look at them in the natural, and we can look at them in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, you know, as I said earlier, this is our land. And we have been taking authority over the principalities and powers that have warred against us. And we can take authority over the principalities and power that war against the towns we live in, the land our house sits on, the property that is around our houses. And we can take it and apply it just about every place where our feet goes. Praise the Lord. Take down, break down the principalities and powers. And I want to tell you something tonight. Those places that you live, that you're going home to tomorrow and Sunday and Monday, are longing to see that come about. Did you know that? They don't know it, many of them, but they're longing to see it come about. Now, what's that scripture that we quote? I think I heard it here today. In Romans chapter 8, that the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the adoption. The whole earth is waiting expectantly for the manifestation of the sons of God. We don't know. Many times people don't even know what it is as they groan within themselves. I'm talking about people that aren't even moving in the revelation and the depth of understanding that you and I are tonight. But there's an expectation and a longing for a new order and something to begin to happen. I remember, it's been 8 years ago now, I was working, doing some work for a company in Minneapolis. I was in the publishing business for quite a number of years, and I was doing some work for a company there on a contract basis. And it must have been about the time that there was going to be an election. I think it was just right at election time. And there was a lady that was talking to me. She wasn't saved. In fact, she used to make fun of us who were, but she was talking to me very seriously one day. And with much passion as she talked, and she says, "Linda, I can't stand it." She says, "There has to be a new order. There's got to be a new order coming in." And I says, "You don't know what you're saying. There really does have to be a new order." And she looked at me. I couldn't explain it to her, but I says, "You just hold on to that thought, and it's going to come about. It may not be the way you think, but God has a new order on the horizon. Praise the Lord." And the wonderful part of it is that He's going to use you to do it. And you don't have to have education. You don't have to have all kinds of understanding. You don't have to have all kinds of degrees behind your name or anything like that. You've got an understanding that Christ in you is a hope of glory and that He desires to work through you. Hallelujah. He'll do it. He'll begin to work through you. The whole land is groaning, not just people. The whole land is groaning. Up where I live, fishing is one of the industries there, fishing and tourism. And they're very concerned because the Great Lakes have been polluted. And it's affecting the fishing industry. And they're saying that people can't, especially pregnant mothers, women aren't to eat the fish out of the waters because of the contamination. This summer, because of the drought that's been going on, the waters up in Wisconsin have been getting very contaminated and polluted. People are having to go and buy the water. All the land is groaning, waiting for a change. You know, that brings another thought to mind. And I haven't talked this over with Glenn. I don't even know. Oh, there you are. Okay. I haven't talked this over with him yet. But there's something I want to say about the people who are redeemed. I Maybe we're not right on every little point of this, but I have a feeling we might be close anyway, Brother Glenn. But you know, when we come to those of us that come here to minister in one capacity or another, you know, we get a letter from Glenn before we come of things that he desires of us and things that he doesn't desire of us. And the first time I got a letter, I only got it once. I only needed to get it once. Bless the Lord for that. I read this letter over and it sounded good to me. But one of the things that was stated in the letter was, we don't sing songs in a minor key. Now, I don't believe we've ever talked about this. And being a musician, I like music. I enjoy music. I enjoy music of all kinds. But God began speaking to me many years ago about this. About 17 years ago, he began speaking to me about it, and I didn't have teaching on it. And I found as I was learning, and it really came home to me as I was learning to play the guitar. And I'd put that guitar on, and I'd practice the chords. I'd practice those chords before I go to bed at night. I'd sit there, and I'd go through all the chord changes that I knew and just go back and forth. And I found, and I was on the road traveling part of the time and be away from home for sometimes a couple weeks at a time as I was selling, advertising, and in the publishing business. And I'd get my guitar out at night sometimes, you know, to practice my chord changes. And I found that when I was kind of lonesome to get home and feeling a little heavy-hearted, maybe it hadn't been a good day, I found that I would practice those minor chords. And I'd just get sadder and sadder as I would practice those minor chords. I'd finally put the guitar away. I couldn't stand it any longer and just have to go to bed, you know? And the Lord showed me early on that those minor sounds was a travail of the soul. And it was not the song of the Spirit. And I was sharing this with a lady back in Green Bay a few years ago who's a very well-known musician in Green Bay. And a music teacher and conducts concerts there. And in fact, we were up in near the area where I live. I was up there and we were on vacation and it was late at night, about midnight. And we were walking out among where the boats were docked and walking back and forth and talking about the things of God. And the wind had come up and we could hear the wind whistling through the poles and, you know, for the sailboats. And there was all kinds of sounds going on. We'd been talking about the things of God. And I said, tell me, I said, listen to the sound. I said, and she says, what about it? I said, is that in a minor key or a major key? And she listened for a few minutes and she said, it's in a minor key. It would change pitches as the wind was going through the poles and the mast there and it would change pitch. And she said, it's a minor key. And she says, why do you ask? And I said, because nature sings in a minor key. Nature sings in a minor key because nature is groaning and travailing, waiting for change to come. Praise the Lord. Is that okay, Glenn? All right. And it's not, and I also found something as I began to travel in foreign countries, and particularly when I traveled in India and ministered in India, that the music that they sang, and in every culture where I have been, that has been a very repressed culture, that the sound is a sound of repression. The music is in a minor key. And the people whom God has redeemed, oh, I was singing a song asking Bill if he knew it earlier, today, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When we sing it, when we say it, it is in the sound of the Spirit, which is in a major key. Praise the Lord. And so as we go out and as we begin to redeem the land, as we begin to take back the ground that has been given Satan and begin to declare and begin to declare the promises of God and the provision of God for that place, I believe we're going to see change come about in every respect. Now, you know, one time I heard Brother Jack ministering here and immediately I thought of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where, as I said, I spend so much time, because he was talking about the effects of drugs on our nation today, and that we will see the effects of it. Many of you maybe remember him saying this, years down the road. Many, many years down the road, we will see the effects of it. And I thought he is talking about Upper Michigan. Because in Upper Michigan, when everything was flowing freely, when money was easy, and everybody had jobs and they were bringing down wonderful salaries. I mean, we're talking years ago, getting great salaries. You know what they spent their money on? They spent it on alcohol. They spent it on drugs. They spent it on wild living. And if you go up there in the Upper Peninsula today, you see the effect of all of those years of sin. I go in, there's churches I go into there where there has been so much incest that people have become simple-minded because of all of the incest and the sin that has gone on and the intermarriage between relatives. And the people, there are people, and I'm not talking about young people who are spaced out on drugs. I'm talking about people who are 70 and 80 years old, who are walking around there with a blank look on their face, not having full comprehension because of the sins of their parents, because of what went on. They didn't put their money into nice homes. They lived in shacks and lived wild living. And all over, it's a beautiful country if you would go up there. Beautiful trees and lakes and rivers and that sort of thing. But when you get among the people, you see how Satan has come to rob and to kill and destroy. But I'm thankful that that verse doesn't end there. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. And as this revelation has begun to get a hold of me, I am seeing not only that I, but as I have begun to begin to share it with others, that we can break the strongholds even over those that are simple-minded and those who have been devastated by the results of sin and incest and drunkenness and all of that kind of living, and that we can begin to minister the life of God into them and that they can be vessels of honor in the house of God. Praise the Lord. There have been a number of prophecies, incidentally, that has been given in that area up there that God was going to move again in that place. And there are ministers, one minister in particular that I know very well, who has just kept fighting the battle for 10 years now, staying there, and he says, I'm not leaving because God has promised that he's going to do this, and I'm going to stay here to see it happen. Praise the Lord. And so we are going to see, as we get hold, see God do absolutely marvelous things if we will allow Him first to begin to do it in our lives. That is the key. How can we possibly go out and deliver creation and deliver others unless we submit to the dealing and the delivering process of God in our own life? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful tonight. Again, I want to say it, for the mercies of God. His mercies, the scripture says, are new every morning. New every morning. I don't have to depend on His mercies that were shown to me way back 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I've got new mercies to think about this morning that He's given me today and new ones that He's giving me tomorrow. Praise the Lord, every single one of us. Praise the Lord. There's another scripture I want to leave with you tonight. And we're going to close after we share this, I think. Gonna try. We quote a scripture years back. I worked for the Billy Graham Association for many years. And the theme verse that the Billy Graham Association used for their crusades, when they would go into a place, was the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people who are called by my name, I would like to turn to it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I want to read what's before that verse. Because it was when Solomon had finished the temple that God spoke to him and said, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Now God's saying when he does that, he says, when I do that, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, it's threefold. There's a humbling ourselves, there is a praying, and there is seeking his face, and then turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And when I worked in the Billy Graham Association, of course, we always use that in the spiritual sense that God would heal this land right here. He would do something in us as we begin to pray. And so they would always organize prayer groups for more than a year ahead of time in each locality where they were going to have a crusade and use that as the basis for it. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I have a feeling that with what we are seeing happening here in our nation right now, and especially with what God has been speaking to me in the last few weeks and with the vision that he had given me last week, that the things that we are seeing and the fact that there's been no rain in places and there's been the severe problems. I called home today and found out that up there where we don't have hot weather, it's been 100 degrees all week long. That these things are happening so that we'll get on our face before God and begin to pray and repent for our physical land as well as our spiritual land. You know, rain sometimes speaks of worship in the scripture. Like our brother was saying today, we can get all kinds of typology out of the scripture. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it might mean one thing to me this week and it might mean something another week. But I remember one time we were having some meetings somewhere and we hadn't had any rain. In fact, I think it was just a year ago, somewhere up in northern Wisconsin. We hadn't had any rain, and at that time, too, people were desperate for rain. And a prophecy came that as we would worship the Lord, the rain would come. The rain would descend. As we would worship him, he would cause it to rain back down on us. And as a congregation, it was a prophecy as a congregation, all week long, we just kept on worshiping the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and the rains began to come. It really blessed me. You know, God really was speaking to us and showing us a principle in action there. But I'll tell you what, right now the fact that we have not had rain, I believe, is because there is such ungodliness in the land and such terrible things going on all around us that we are going to have to get on our face before God, as Nehemiah got on his face before God, and as he confessed the sins of the people, that God is going to call on you as an intercessor and me as an intercessor to get on our face before God and begin to pray that God will heal our land. Repent because of the wickedness. You know, I've heard Glenn do that every time I've been to camp. Every single time I've been here, I've heard him do that. And it always blessed me, but it never had the effect it had on me until I came to this, to camp this time because of that which God had shown me a week ago. I have to have a revelation on things, I'll tell you, before I can preach it. I've heard wonderful things from others, but it's got to become revelation to me before I can declare it and say amen very loud. Amen. But I believe from now on, Brother Glenn, when you pray about the abominations in the land, I can say amen right along with you and pray with that same assurity that God has given you in this situation. But God will call on you and me to repent for the sins of the people and for the problems that have developed in the places that you and I occupy. I was talking to Janet before the service tonight. She says, have you read this book about redeeming the land? And I says, well, I laughed. I says, you don't know what I'm planning to share tonight. I'm planning to share that which God has just really quickened to my heart about redeeming the land. God has been speaking it to me. I picked the book up the other day and just glanced through it. I don't try not to preach other people's revelation. I want to preach my own. But I saw that the things they were saying was the same things that God had been putting down in my spirit, that this is the authority and the place that we have. And Janet was telling me that in her community, the grass is brown around them, but they have gone around their house and they have claimed their land, and that their grass is green while everybody else's land and grass is brown. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he said that in the place where he is, they're having bad crops all around them. People have had to put crops in, some of them that could afford it, three times this year. And he said that in their church they have prayed, he's in a farming community, he says, we've prayed that God would bring up water from the deeps and would water the fields. And he said, God has been doing it. It just come up from the water level. The water level has just come up and watered their crops so that they are getting crops, and other people are wondering what's happening. Praise the Lord. God, as we begin to get the truth of this and what God wants to do through us, I'll tell you, there is no limit to what we can do in the communities that you're going back to tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand. I want you to lift your hands. We are going to speak to your home areas right now. You've gotten deliverance this week? I hope you have. I trust you have. If you've gotten deliverance this week, we're going to believe God with you. You're going to go home, and that deliverance is going to come forth from you into your community. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we pray for each community represented here tonight. Hallelujah. Halaburikai Shebabarano. Le boli karaba sharano. Le karaba sharakorono. Le boboraba sharano. Ile boraka sharabasto. Dribobo sharara karano. Rele bala karano. Shele baka sharano. Le bolo korando. Riko shalaba rikarando. Le labora baba sharando. He bolo bolo mahagraba serrando. We pray particularly for the southern states where blood was shed, where the atrocities of the Civil War had, where terrible things were done. And we speak to those areas right now. We speak to them. Those of you that live in those states, just right now, we speak to that where the blood was shed. And we take back the ground that has been given Satan. We redeem, we take back that land. Hallelujah. Kuraba sharando, where the blood was shed. Where the blood was shed. Oh, we pray. Oh, Koshalaba Biba Sarando. And the areas in Oklahoma and Texas and Wisconsin and Minnesota, those places where there have been all kinds of Indian activity and Indian warfare, right now we take authority over the bloodshed that has been done, over all that has been associated with the occult practices of the Indian religion. In Jesus' name, we take authority right now. Hura baba shara karai. Sele bala kondra ba sharando. Hallelujah. Hele bala karaba sharando. Lo bori karaba sharando. Li bala baba sharando. Le bala karando. La arboro ko sharamandri. Le baba sharamandro ba sharamandri. You know, some years ago, many years ago now, I went into a restaurant one time in Des Moines, Iowa, at a motel there with another lady who is a very spiritual woman. really my spiritual mother, and we walked into this restaurant. And as we walked into the restaurant, something came over here and her, and she says, "We got to get out of this place." And I said, "We're not leaving. We're going to eat dinner." You know, I was hungry. And she sat down very much against her will and was a little upset with me. And she said, she said, "There is a very bad spirit about this place." She said, "Blood has been shed here." And she said, "There has been a murder in this place." And, of course, I didn't want to listen to it, and I thought it was just ridiculous. And I ate my dinner. She wouldn't eat. We went on our way on home. I took her on home. And about 2 years later, I was back in the place again, and I thought, well, I'm going to find out about this. And so I went and I began to inquire to find out what had happened in this particular Holiday Inn, I believe it was. And they said, yes, there was a murder in this place. It was a year before we had been there. And it substantiated what God had shown this person in the spirit. And I say that to say this, that I feel that there is somebody here tonight who has had a crime against their family. And I want to, whoever that is tonight, I just want to lift that family to the Lord and believe that God in His mercy, and maybe there's already been some things that have been accomplished, but there's more that God wants to do in your family and in this situation. And we pray right now, God, for whoever this person is, a member of your family that has been touched by this crime, has been touched by this, whatever it was, we pray right now, God, that justice would still be accomplished, that justice would be done, that, God, we minister forgiveness, we minister the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in this situation, and I pray for this person's mind that the blood of Jesus would just sweep over their mind and take away the memories and the effects of this, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that they will take back the ground that Satan has gotten in this situation, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, let the rain of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. Father, may the word be quickened to our heart tonight. May it be quickened. Father, as we leave, as we walk out of the doors of this place, Father, and go to our own properties, Father, may we go with the song of the redeemed on our lips. Hallelujah. May we go with a revelation on our lips, Lord Jesus Christ, that You in the midst of us is mighty. Hallelujah. You are mighty in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for the place where our feet stand right now, and the property right here and all around, and these acres that You have given for the kingdom of God. We take authority over every tongue that has risen against Him in judgment. We take authority over the lie of the enemy that has been leveled against it, over this ministry, and over what has been done here and what has been accomplished here. And we release, Lord, blessings, and we release a time of refreshing on this place for the next months, Lord. There be a time of refreshing to each one who lives here, each one who is an employee here, each one who has labored here, for Brother Glenn, for Irma, for Kevin and Patty, and for Raymond, and for Daniel, and for Ruby and Kathy, and the ones, others that labor here, and Ed, and the ones that are doing the building and construction, and Jean, and Mac and Dottie, and those that make up the family right here. Father, we pray a release of Your Spirit in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Shorabai celebara corande. Le baroko shalabarando. A quickening and a rest, Lord, that is of Your Spirit, and that is by You alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord just a minute. Koya taraba sataraba kataraba sandarabo kurabahaya. Korababa sandarabo kotaraba sandarabo kurabahaya. Korababa sandarabo kotaraba siaraba handarabo kotaraba siarabahaya. Koya tataraba sandarabo kotaraba siataraba kaya tabasaya. Handarabo kotaraba siataraba katarabo siataraba kaya tabasaya tabakaya. So tataraba kandarabo siataraba katarabo siataraba katarabo siataraba katarabo siataraba haya. Maso kototorabo siataraba katarabo siataraba kotarabo siataraba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The winds have come and gone, saith the Lord, and they have blown upon this place and upon a people, saith the Lord. I'm talking about the winds of adversity. But I, the Lord, thy God, am the healer, and I am thy deliverer, saith the Lord. And know that in this hour I do move throughout the land. I do move throughout thy physical land and the land of America, saith the Lord. And I, the Lord, do bring a revival in the midst of the land. So rejoice and know that God has heard thy cry, and God has heard thy petitions this night. And I have said in my word that I would give you the very desires of your heart. So look up, my people. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and let the King of Glory come in. For I, the Lord, thy God, do bring a mighty move throughout the land in this hour. And truly my wind shall blow once again, and my spirit shall move once again across the land. Yea, saith the Lord, let the doubters, yea, go this way and that way. But I, the Lord, would say, I have a people that's arising in faith. I have a people that shall believe me in this hour. And because of that, yea, thou shalt see it with thine eye, and thou shalt see the effects of it, saith the Lord. For surely I, the Lord, have spoken. It shall be expected, and you'll see it, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen more. Haya totorabo korababa sandarabakaya. Haramo sokobosaya. Haya tada. Yes, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall be cut down, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord, thy God, do raise up an army. I raise up a people, yea, coming forth in my nature and in my image with my character, saith the Lord. Yea, know that my people shall march at the drumbeat of the Holy Ghost. My people shall hear my voice, and my people shall obey the Spirit of God. For surely they are strong, and they shall not thrust one another through, for they are my people, saith the Lord. So hunger and thirst after me and watch me move, saith the Lord, again in the land. Watch me move in those areas and places that people have marked them off and said it's dead. I, the Lord God, shall revive men in this hour, and I shall bring my revival, and I shall bring my fire in the land, saith the Lord, and it shall consume the dross, and it shall defeat the enemy, and you'll see it again, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. This local community, I bring Hot Springs and Garland County before you. And I lift up every church of every denomination and the pastor of every church. Father, I ask for an outpouring of the fire of the Holy Ghost to flow and move through every pastor and every community, Lord, regardless of the name for which the church is named, that the glory and majesty of the Lord may be felt once again in this community, in this area. I lift up the pastors, Lord, and I lift up the hunger in their hearts, and I loose the glory of the Holy Ghost to flow and move upon them with a mighty outpouring of the presence of the living God shall break forth in their midst and flow forth from them unto their congregations. Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. I bind the powers of leprosy. I bind the stronghold of leprosy. I bind the spirit of pleasure over this community. I break the dominion of it. I pull it down. I break its power. I bind you, Satan. I break your power. I pull the prince of pleasure off of his throne over Hot Springs. And I loose the presence of the living God to have free course to flow and move with a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost to bring convicting power over this community and this area. And I thank you for starting with each one of us, Lord, helping us to be prayer warriors to stand forth in behalf of the pastors of this local area. And Father, I thank you for laying that burden upon the hearts of those as they travel across the nation for their local areas and for their local communities. Father, not to be jealous or to be concerned just with their own local pastor or their local church, but that they be concerned with the community and with the churches of the area, regardless of the denomination, that the glory of the Lord shall move and bring forth fruit for your glory. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I thought we was going to sing another chorus, but my music has disappeared, so you're dismissed. See you. Those that will still be here, see you in the morning. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.